Yeah, man. All right. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Yeah. 815 area code requested Van Halen. This is Eruption in honor of Eddie Van Halen's birthday. 62. Eddie Van Halen is 62. So there you go. So that's Triple Play Thursday. It means two more songs by Van Halen. I hope that doesn't include Van Hagar. I hope they stick with the actual real Van Halen, not the Van Hagar. So we'll find out. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up a little bit later on, Esmeralda, are you up for the challenge of Celebrity Name Game?
Always.
Yeah. You know me playing around, man. That's coming up later. But I've got this list here of actors who are poised to make a comeback in 2017. Oh, before we get this, I'm going to do a blatant plug for my movie on Tuesday. February 7th. Tuesday, February 7th is my next film club screening, and it is of Say Anything, the terrific Cameron Crowe movie from 1989, John Cusack, Ione Skye, John Mahoney, a really wonderful, sweet, funny, smart, beautifully acted movie. It's a sweet little romantic movie in time for Valentine's Day. In fact, the screening is 1 week before Valentine's Day. So come on out to the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. You can have dinner at Bogart's, which is on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And then after that, it's at like 7 o'clock, have some dinner. 8 o'clock, we all sit down. I'll introduce the movie. We'll watch the great movie, Say Anything, together, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. I got a lot of stories about this one, and it's going to be fun. It's a terrific movie. It's only $10 to get in, and parking is free. So it's a win-win-win situation. $10 to get in, parking is free. If you don't want to drive, it's like a 5-minute walk from the Blue Line Rosemont stop. So you can just take the Blue Line straight out, walk right to the theater. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We love doing these screenings. You know, we have a lot of regulars who show up every month, and we would love to have you come out. It's a great movie, and if you've never seen Say Anything, it's really a wonderful, wonderful movie. And everybody in it is great. It's one of my favorite John Cusack performances of all time. And so there you go. So it's Tuesday, February 7th. Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. If you'd like to reserve your seats, you can go to carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E, or you can go to fandango.com to reserve your seats. And it's $10. Parking is free. Tuesday, February 7th. Let's jam the place. Everybody come on out and see this great movie on the big screen. Say Anything is my next film screening. Tuesday, February 7th, Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Okay? Come on out. Okay. Esmeralda, is there anybody that you would like to see make a comeback? Hasn't been around for a while.
Can't think of anybody offhand. Usually they surprise me where I go, oh, that guy's still around.
Yeah. Last year for me, I was so pleased that Pee Wee Herman came back.
Yeah, see, he's the person I wouldn't think of. And then when I see him, I go, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's great.
He made a HBO, or HBO, he made a Netflix movie called Pee Wee's Big Holiday. And so it was so much fun, and I love Pee Wee Herman, and Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure is one of my favorite movies of all time, and Pee Wee's Playhouse is one of the greatest TV shows in the history of television. Now, Esmeralda, you were probably the right age for that, right?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't too much of an early riser.
Yeah.
So I never got to catch it too often.
We used to go over to my buddy Joe. Hey, listen, we used to go over to my buddy Joe's house every Saturday night. He would tape it on Saturday morning. And then every Saturday night, all of us would go in over to Joe's house and watch the episode and probably rewind it 800 times. It was just the best show. It was the best. Obviously, it was a show that was aimed at kids, but there was a lot of stuff going on in there that adults really got into. And it was the best. So when he came back, that was a big one for me. Like Pee-wee returning with a new movie last year was for me a wonderful comeback. And I hope he continues to make stuff, for Netflix and stuff like that. So, all right. Well, here's who they say are going to make comebacks in 2017. By the way, if you want to jump in, what were some of your favorite celebrity comebacks? Some of the best celebrity comebacks of all time? We'll talk about that. And who would you like to see come back? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. The first one on the list is Goldie Hawn. And if you saw the Golden Globes, you saw that she did a very, they did it, well, it was not her fault because the writing for the Golden Globes was lame. And they did a bit with Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer. And the reason they were paired up is because she's going to play Amy Schumer's mom. And after more than a decade off the big screen, the actress will make her long-awaited comeback in the upcoming comedy Snatched. Hawn will play Amy Schumer's mom in the film, which follows a mother-daughter duo that gets caught up in a crime ring during a vacation gone wrong. Snatched hits theaters in May 12th. Yeah, I like Goldie Hawn, man. What was her last movie? If it's been more than a decade, I can't even remember the last time Goldie Hawn was in a movie. Was it like First Wives Club? She must have made something after that. Well, we'll figure it out. We got a break here for the news. But when we come back, we're going to talk about actors who might make a comeback this year, actors who made comebacks, and who you would like to see make a comeback. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next. We got a real Van Halen fan here because this is a deep cut. 815 area code for Triple Play Thursday. This is the second of three songs by Van Halen, Bottoms Up. This song is a jam! Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of the Trip Tower here till 5. We're talking about celebrity comebacks, celebrity career comebacks. Who were some of your favorite comebacks? Who would you like to see make a comeback? 312-981-7200. And I have a list here of actors who are poised to make a comeback this year. And and then we'll talk about some of the ones from the past. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. So call us up or text us with your choices, 312-981-7200. Okay, we mentioned Goldie Hawn, who's coming out in a movie with Amy Schumer called Snatched, and it comes out on May 12th. And for the record, it looks terrible. I don't know if you've seen the trailer. I'm not an Amy Schumer guy. Not a fan of Amy Schumer. I'm actually kind of baffled by her success. I don't get it. I don't think she's funny. So I don't know. I don't know. Do you like her, Esmeralda?
I mean, I saw, what was the movie?
Trainwreck.
Right. I saw that and I liked it. But that movie she's going to be in with Goldie Hawn looks horrific.
It looks so bad. Oh, does it look bad? You know, I've watched Inside Amy Schumer a few times and I laughed at a couple of things. I think she's, you know, she can be funny. I just don't understand why people think she's great. The show that I think with the female voice on Comedy Central that is brilliant is Broad City. I would choose Broad City over Inside Amy Schumer in a heartbeat. Because those two chicks on Broad City are hilarious, man. They're great. They need to make a movie. Don't you think they should make a movie, Esmeralda? You don't like them?
No, I like them, but don't ruin it by them making a movie.
Well, let them. The more material there is for them to work with, the better. That comes back, by the way. When does it come back? I think it comes back in May. New season of Broad City. It's been a long time, man. I think it is. Hasn't it been a long time? It just feels like they haven't been on the air for a long time. I miss them. That show kills me, man. I laugh out loud every single time. So funny. All right. They say Holly Berry is going to make a comeback this year, Esmeralda. Holly Berry. Berry's transition to the small screen with CBS's Extant didn't go as well as she had hoped. The show lasted only two seasons before getting axed.
What show?
Extant. Extant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched one episode of it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, no. No, it was not good. Dan, did you ever watch Extant? Did you see it?
No, I never saw it.
I watched one episode of it. It was not good. Now the actress is refocusing her efforts on feature films. This year, Berry will star in two notable movies, the thriller Kidnap, which she also produced, and the anticipated action sequel Kingsman: The Golden Circle, which hits theaters in October. This movie, Kidnap, again, I saw the trailer for this movie, and it looks awful. Somebody kidnaps her son or daughter or kid. Who kidnaps her kid, and she sees the car that the kid is, and then she just chases the car around, going after her kid. And I looked at the trailer, and they started showing this trailer like 4 months ago, and the release date keeps getting pushed back. So I don't think that one's going to be like her big comeback. One of my favorite actresses ever in the history of the world is next on this list, Michelle Pfeiffer, who is one of my favorite actresses. I love her so much. Pfeiffer's last movie was the 2013 ill-received The Family, but her list of forthcoming features sounds more promising. The Family was a terrible movie. Did you ever hear of it, Esmeralda?
No.
It's her and De Niro, and they've got kids, and they're playing because I think if I remember correctly, he like rats to the government about the mafia, and so they have to go and live.
Oh yeah, I heard
in a small town.
I remember seeing the trailer.
God, it was terrible, just terrible.
You know, the thing with Michelle Pfeiffer that she had going for her, at one point she had two songs that name dropped her on the radio. Bruno Mars name-dropped her in one song, and then a guy named Vance Joy name-dropped her in a song called Riptide. Two very separate genres. You know, Riptide was more of like a just a guitar, singer-songwriter type song, and then obviously Bruno Mars, R&B. But like two songs in pop culture name-dropped her like within the same six-month period. So,
and this
like,
was recently.
Right. This was in last year because, I mean, it was What's your favorite Bruno Mars song? I can think of it.
Uptown Funk?
Yeah, she's name-dropped Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which was just surreal for me because, you haven't heard from her since that movie. Then all of a sudden, two guys mentioned her randomly in two different songs.
Well, she's awesome. Michelle Pfeiffer is awesome. I just adore her, and I think she's she's a terrific actress. I always go back to Fabulous Baker Boys. She's unbelievably great in that movie. And she can sing, man. And I love Michelle Pfeiffer. Always have. Hell, ever since the Hollywood Nights. I even liked her in Grease 2. Grease 2, by the way, which has one of the greatest bad musical sequences ever. Esmeralda, have you seen Grease 2?
A very long time ago, and I'd like to forget it, please.
It's funny. You should go back and watch it. I bet V has seen it repeatedly. I would bet that he'd seen it more than once. It's one of those movies that's so terrible that you watch it a bunch of times.
Has V seen Moulin Rouge?
Probably.
Are we going back to that? Esmeralda staunchly refuses to see Moulin Rouge.
I'm going to coordinate something with V.
Nope, I will run away.
You're going to plan? You're going to plant behind Esmeralda's back? You are going to plan? Hey, Esmeralda, you could star in the movie Kidnap, because that might happen. They might kidnap you and take you to see Moulin Rouge.
I will run.
I love that you don't want to see that movie.
I will claw my way out of whatever.
And by the way, Esmeralda, you can't get that 2 hours back. It's gone. It's just gone. It's gone. You know? Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could have watched Flirting with Disaster with Mary Tyler Moore instead. You can't get those 2 hours back because Moulin Rouge takes it away from you. But Michelle Pfeiffer, have you seen Fabulous Baker Boys, Esmeralda?
No.
It's Jeff Bridges and Beau Bridges. They play brothers. You know of it, right?
Yeah.
And they're like lounge pianists, and they hire a singer played by Michelle Pfeiffer. And then, you know, of course, Jeff Bridges and Michelle Pfeiffer, because they're two of the most beautiful people on the planet, kind of like, you know, are attracted to each other. And it puts a wedge between the two brothers. It's one of my favorite Jeff Bridges performances of all time. And I have a lot of those because he's my favorite actor. But Michelle Pfeiffer is just amazing in it. She's good in everything, man. I just think she's great. And come on, Scarface? How awesome is she in Scarface? And she weighed like 62 pounds because of all the cocaine her character was doing. She's... oh, man. All right. So anyway, Michelle Pfeiffer, they say... she co-stars opposite Kiefer Sutherland in Where Is Kira, a drama scheduled to make its debut. Well, it made its debut at Sundance. I wonder if Eric saw Where Is Kira. We'll have to ask him on Monday. She also will appear alongside Jennifer Lawrence in the anticipated Darren Aronofsky directed drama Mother. Ooh, oh. I'm all over that. Are you kidding me? Jennifer Lawrence, Michelle Pfeiffer, directed by Darren Aronofsky? Come on! And this fall, she will appear in the star-studded remake thriller Murder on the Orient Express. All right, good for Michelle Pfeiffer. See, those sound much better than an Amy Schumer movie and a movie called Kidnap. That I don't know, doesn't Michelle Pfeiffer's upcoming work sound a lot more interesting than Halle Berry and Goldie Hawn?
Well,
I mean, come on.
Michelle Pfeiffer, I don't know.
What, do you don't like Michelle Pfeiffer?
No, jeez. No, I just feel like she, I don't know, Halle Berry. Well, I guess she did do that Oscar movie.
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
No, she won the Academy Award for Monsters Ball. Yeah.
But I feel like Michelle Pfeiffer, for some reason, does more thoughtful movies. I don't know.
Oh,
why.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. For one, she wasn't in that damn Travolta movie that we talked about before. What the hell was the name of that movie with his hair and stuff blew up?
Swordfish.
Yeah, Swordfish. Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't in Swordfish. Oh, by the way, the number that I wanted to mention from Grease 2, if you don't watch the whole movie, try to look this up online, Esmeralda. At least watch this one musical number. It's like, we're going to bowl tonight. And it's a song that takes place in a bowling alley. We're going to bowl tonight. Like Adrian's mad running around, bowling. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you. Esmeralda, it's hilarious. You should give it a shot.
No.
I'm telling you,
no.
It's funny.
No.
It's so funny. We're going to bowl tonight.
If you had to watch Grease 2, Moulin Rouge, or Bite Off Your Fingers, which would you choose?
I like my fingers.
So you watch Grease 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on!
You'd make the right choice, too, Esmeralda. That's the right choice. Grease 2 is better than Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, because what's-his-face is in Grease 2? Who's the guy, the nerd guy on the motorcycle?
I don't remember. Who?
The nerd, the main guy. He's like riding around on a motorcycle.
That's the Australian dude.
Yeah, him.
I can't remember his name. How do you know that guy?
I don't know. I've seen the stupid movie.
Maxwell Caulfield?
That's it, Maxwell Caulfield.
I've seen the movie.
Wait. So wait, hold on a second. Let me just get this straight. Your draw to Grease 2 is Maxwell Caulfield? That's like,
well, if I got to choose between Moulin Rouge and Grease 2.
You're going to choose the Maxwell Caulfield vehicle.
Yeah.
What about Zmed? Zmed's in it.
Oh, gosh.
Come on. We're going to bowl tonight. It's not like you can't do a good musical number in a bowling alley. Because they did a great musical number in Across the Universe in a bowling alley. They staged I've Just Seen a Face. Part of it is in a bowling alley. You remember that, Esmeralda?
No.
You've seen Across the Universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bowling alley. When they do their version of I've Just Seen a Face, half of the musical number takes place in a bowling alley.
Yeah, a lot of these things, I watch it and then it's gone.
Okay. Across the Universe is one of my, and I go back to that movie constantly.
That wouldn't be the case with Moulin Rouge.
It would be burned into my skull.
Positively. And I mean that both ways.
I can't believe that you are such a staunch defender of Moulin Rouge, Dan.
That movie rules.
It's terrible. Come on, man. Come on. No. I approve. I'm Nick DiGilio, and I approve this message. That's the third of the Triple Play Thursday. The 815 area code is a true Van Halen fan. That's Little Guitars, which is also a jam. It's Triple Play Thursday, 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio, we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, followed by Steve Cochran at 6. And we're talking about actors and actresses who are poised to make a comeback, and some of the actors who have made comebacks in the past, some of your favorites. Let's see. We got some texts here. 815 area code, Esmeralda. Do you know who they want to see make a comeback? Ready?
Who's that?
Pauly Shore.
Ugh. No, leave him where he is.
Oh, man.
Although I did see, what's the Army movie he had?
In the it's in the Army.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I saw, well, I saw.
I may have seen
Jury Duty,
one.
Right?
I may have seen that also in the theater.
How about Encino Man?
No, I did not see that in the theater.
Encino Man is funny. How about Son-in-Law?
I may have also seen that in the theater. Why was I going to see it? I mean, it was probably a very rough time, and there was nothing else to watch.
It was the mid-90s, you know?
Moulin Rouge was sold out.
Oh, God, here we go. It's never going to stop. President of the Moulin Rouge fan club, everybody, Dan Shagru. How about, oh, my God, do you remember Biodome?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. With him and Stephen Baldwin? That movie is ridiculous.
Did I go see that? I might have gone.
You know what?
I don't know why I was seeing all these Pauly Shore
movies. Because you know
movies.
Why? You love Pauly Shore. He's your favorite. I bet you have a large poster of the weasel hanging in your bedroom right now.
I remember watching him during the spring breaks on
sure.
TV when he had the, because they would give him the show.
Yeah.
During the spring breaks.
Totally,
I don't think he had
totally Pauly.
Yeah, he didn't have it on off season, right?
He was on MTV all the time.
No, but that show specifically.
What, Totally Pauly?
Yeah, it was just for the spring
was
breaks.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was I thought it was year round. Yeah.
I feel like they didn't. I only saw it when he was on spring breaks and he'd do it live in front of.
Yeah.
People.
Thanks, buddy.
Chilling, yeah, chilling with the wheeze.
Chilling with the wheeze.
Have some nubs
yep.
or something. I forget what he.
It's funny, you know, you immediately dissing Pauly Shore. Now, as we talk about it, you know all his catchphrases and you've seen all his movies in the theater.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that I think he's any good.
You want him to come back. That was you. You know what? You sent that text.
I was like a 10-year-old.
You sent.
No taste.
You want the Pauly Shore to come back.
No taste whatsoever.
One of my friends loved Pauly Shore. He was a guy like my age. You know, in the mid-90s, we were, what were we, 30? Like 30 years old. He's like, yeah, Pauly Shore's hilarious. Oh, really? You know how Pauly Shore got his job? You know how he became famous?
Right?
His mom. I mean, his mom gave. Mitzi Shore, who owns. Which one does she own? The Comedy Store. She owns the Comedy Store in LA. So she would give him stage time, like major stage time. She would make him a headliner.
Although that doesn't mean it would have made him famous, you know?
Well,
if he was truly awful, they would have hated him being if he was a headliner if he wasn't.
Well, I know, but more people like agents and people in the business will go and see a headliner as opposed to somebody who's like a feature or opener.
Yeah, but they still have to decide.
Yeah, well, they decided they liked him.
Oof.
Harold and then Jay in Chicago said John Travolta had a few comebacks. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You know, it's weird, though. Everybody talked about when Pulp Fiction came out, everybody was like, oh, man, John Travolta, wow, what a huge comeback. Here's the thing. Let me explain something. Everybody seems to forget. Now, I will say this. Pulp Fiction was the first great movie Travolta was in and where he gave a great performance in a really long time. But people always forget he was in those damn Talking Baby movies.
I love those movies.
That made all of those movies made a ton of money. So it wasn't like he was like destitute and hadn't worked. Bruce Willis and the baby movies that, what the hell, Look Who's Talking, right?
Look Who's Talking 2, Look Who's Talking Now.
Didn't one of them have a damn dog?
Yeah, one of them was dogs talking.
Right.
Because the kids were all grown up. They could talk on their own.
So everybody's like, oh, my God, John Travolta. Where did that come from? John Travolta was in, like, all four of those damn baby movies, and they all made money. So it wasn't like he was flop after flop after. Now, they're terrible movies, the Look Who's Talking movies.
Look Who's Talking is great.
It is not.
The original one is.
No, it's not. Are you guys out of
so
your mind?
Good. I love that movie.
It's terrible. Anyway. But, yeah, Travolta did make several comebacks. 847 area code, one of the biggest comebacks of all time, Robert Downey Jr., without question. Without question. One of the biggest and most impressive comebacks of all time. Great story there. That guy had hit rock bottom, man. And then slowly he started to make his return. You remember, you know what started Robert Downey Jr.'s return to form? Ally McBeal. When he got cast on Ally McBeal, that's when it started. And then, of course, 2008 was the biggest year ever for him. He had Iron Man, Tropic Thunder, and he got nominated for an Academy Award. So, all right, we got a break. The news is coming up next, and then we'll talk more comebacks on 720 WGN. Wish me love, oh, wishing well, the kiss and tell. Oh, boy. Oh, do I love this song. Oh, do I love Terrence Trent D'Arby. I'd like to thank Miles, Jen Bosworth's husband. Triple Play Thursday, that means we get two more Terrence Trent D'Arby songs. It's not even Fly Jam Friday, Dan.
Lucky you.
Oh, my God. Vic seemed to enjoy. You enjoy the Terrence Trent D'Arby?
What are the other songs?
Oh yeah,
I love that song.
Well, the first album that he released, The Hard Line, according to Terrence Trent D'Arby, is loaded with great songs.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have to go and find that now.
Oh,
but I love that song.
Oh, that's, man, that song rules.
So good.
I went to go see him at the Metro. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my
wow.
God, when that record came out, I lost my mind when that album came out. That was one of those albums people would get in my car like 2 months after the album came out, and it would still be in my cassette player, and they'd be like, don't you have anything else?
It was huge.
It's just amazing. It was amazing.
It was very different from the music that was being played.
Oh, he rules.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Terrence Trent, thank you, Miles. I appreciate that. Brightening up my Thursday morning with some Terrence Trent D'Arby. But I do remember the thing that everybody remembers about Terrence Trent D'Arby, if you were a fan, was his insane arrogance. He actually, in an interview, Esmeralda, you're going to love this. In an interview, when the Hardline came out, and Hardline, according to Terrence Trent D'Arby, came out, they're like, well, who were your influences? And he's like, well, you know, I had many influences, but and then they were like, well, how do you feel about the album? He's like, it's better than Sgt. Pepper.
I think I heard that in a pop-up video.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he had a very high opinion of himself. He had a very, very high opinion of himself. Oh, man. Awesome. All right. I'd like to see Terrence Trent D'Arby make a comeback. We're talking about it. I'd love to see him make a comeback. Yeah. Okay. More people who are going to poise to make a comeback this year. Alyssa Milano. Alyssa Milano hasn't done much except make guest appearances on reality shows like Hollywood Game Night and RuPaul's Drag Race. She will return on the screen this year. She nabbed an undisclosed role on Netflix Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later, set to premiere sometime this year. Oh, that's cool. Wet Hot American Summer rules. Val Kilmer. Set to make a comeback. Audiences haven't seen Kilmer on the big screen since he played Mark Twain in 2005's Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. This year, he'll have a major comeback with two high-profile roles. Terrence Malick's Song by Song. He will be featured among an A-list ensemble cast that includes Ryan Gosling, Rooney Mara, Cate Blanchett. Unless Malick cuts him out of the movie. Which has been known to happen with Terrence Malick because he's a loon. He will also co-star alongside Michael Fassbender and Rebecca Ferguson in the British crime drama The Snowman. Good for Val. Dan, sequel to Real Genius. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there we go.
That's all I'm saying. We need a sequel to Real Genius.
Has Esmeralda seen that movie?
Esmeralda, you've never seen Real Genius, have you?
No. Oh, I've seen bits and pieces of it. But
it's
remember,
so
I have seen the other one where they
the My Science Project,
and they look up the girl's skirts.
Where they make the juice, right?
Right.
That was Zapped 2. Remember?
Yeah, it
was
Zapped 2.
You saw that one, but you didn't see Real Genius
has recently been on the free antenna TV, movies or whatever.
It's
it's
a great movie.
And I saw the part where they like make that guy do stuff. The guy they hate.
where they put the radio transistor in his braces?
Yes.
And they say it's God?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And when they figure out whatever, and then they ruined it.
Wait. What did he figure out what?
That guy had ruined it, but then they figured out how to fix it.
Oh, you mean the laser beam.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I've seen.
Okay, you should see the whole movie. It's great. It's great. How come nobody mentions that how great Val Kilmer was in MacGruber? I mean, come on. That was an Oscar-worthy performance.
Val Kilmer got real bloated.
He did. He did. He's all he was a beautiful man. I mean, you know, you look at him in Real Genius, my God.
Yeah, so I'm confused because it doesn't look like weight gain. It literally just looks like someone like put clay all over him.
It's old man strength.
It's
You just get bigger.
Yeah, he just got kind of like wider and puffier.
He may enjoy cocktails, Esmeralda.
Mm.
Might have an issue with cocktails.
Because yeah, it just looks like someone slapped clay all over him.
Yeah.
Made him a little thicker.
Katherine Heigl, they say, is going to make a comeback. She was executive producer and star of the NBC short-lived series State of Affairs. Since she's moved on to another small screen show this year, the actress is set to headline Doubt, an upcoming CBS legal drama. The series will premiere on February 15th. Does that really? Okay, here's one. Here's the next one that's on this list of someone who's poised to make a comeback. What are they talking about here, Dan, with this one? Charlize Theron. What the hell are you talking about? Comeback.
I think they acknowledge that it's more of the general audience per se that, you know, might not be familiar with her extraordinary work in two of your favorite films.
Okay, she scored a major hit in 2015. This is what it says. This is what they say. She scored a major hit in 2015 with Mad Max Fury Road, but her subsequent projects haven't been successful. Last year's The Huntsman Winter's War tanked at the box office, while the Cannes drama The Last Face reportedly spurred booing at a screening. In fact, her only solid project in 2016 was one where she didn't physically appear, the animated film Kubo and the Two... How is that not a success? Oh, she's not in it. Her voice work on that is amazing. This is dumb. That's just dumb. Charlize Theron doesn't need a comeback. What the hell is wrong with these people? It says, thankfully, it looks like she's set to turn things around. Boy, what do you mean, turn things around? In 2017, she will play the villain in the highly anticipated The Fate of the Furious, also known as Fast 8. In this summer, she will appear in the thriller The Coldest City, based on a graphic novel of the same name. All right, I don't understand that at all. I don't understand. No. 773 area code, will somebody please put Mickey Rourke in a good movie? That was a huge comeback, and he blew it. He blew it. And The Wrestler was amazing. He was unbelievable in it. He could have had any part that he wanted. He ended up playing the villain in Iron Man 2 and then just blew it. And then I don't know if he got back on drugs. I have no idea whether he relapsed or what happened, but, you know, you get this incredible part in The Wrestler. He gets nominated for an Academy Award. He's in a high-profile comic book film as the main villain, and then nothing. It's a comeback that lasted about a year and a half. Oh, here we go. Brian, Esmeralda Brian, has texted in about movies and comebacks. So where do you think we're going to go? You know where we're going with this, right?
Oh.
Said, I would love to see the amazing Kurt Thomas make a comeback and star in Gymkhana 2, The Chalk Cloud Resurgence. A good title.
I would go see that.
I would too. The Chalk Cloud Resurgence. All right, we got a break here, weather and traffic, and then we'll talk more about comebacks, and then after 4:30, Esmeralda and I will battle it out in the radio version of Celebrity Name Game. Yeah. Terrence Trent D'Arby on Triple Play Thursday, 312-981-7200. Our buddy Miles, who is Jen Bosworth's husband, requested a Triple Play from Terrence Trent D'Arby. All right, we're back. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to join us, we're talking about celebrities making comebacks. And we were talking about some celebrities who are are on the verge of making a comeback this year, and some of the classic comebacks from the past. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us, talk or text. Got some texts coming in. Jeff says, I would like to see Val Kilmer again. For some odd reason, I always liked The Saint. Wow, I totally forgot about that movie. Totally forgot about The Saint. 773 area code, Eddie Murphy needs a comeback. Well, Eddie Murphy, you know, did you know that Eddie Murphy released a movie this past year, Dan?
Yeah, Mr. Church,
right?
Is it called?
Yeah, and he was like, it was supposed to be like, you know, his chance to get like an Oscar nomination. It was a serious movie, and it didn't do anything. 708 area code, Jim Carrey and Tom Green. What's Jim Carrey been doing? He's, well, you know what? He's executive producing that show about stand-up comedy in the 70s in L.A. So he's, I mean, he's not in it, but he's executive producing it. It's his brainchild. Tom Green, I don't know where's Tom Green. He, you know, he goes live on the Periscope and on the Facebook every once in a while. He had a TV show on, Tom Green show on Axis. It was an interview show. It was good. I like Tom. Good guy. Peter in Decatur says, come back Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers. Well, you know, that wasn't just Hoosiers, man. He got nominated for Hoosiers, but that year he was also in Blue Velvet. And that's a knockout year right there. And his career was over. The guy was committed to a mental institution. He was addicted to every kind of drug and alcoholic product that you can possibly have. He hit as far down to rock bottom as you could possibly hit. So Hoosiers, Blue Velvet, and after that, he was directing again, starting a bunch of movies. Hell, he was in Land of the Dead. Come on now. 574 area code says Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar. Well, yeah, there you go. Although I got to say, you know, before Harold and Kumar, which was really the big comeback for him because he played so against type, and he killed in that movie. I mean, he was hilarious in it. But he was in Starship Troopers. Come on now. Did he give love to Starship Troopers, man? And he was in Undercover Brother, and he was hilarious in Undercover Brother, which is a hilarious movie. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Undercover Brother? Evie Griffith?
I may have stumbled on it on TBS.
Chris Kattan is the villain. And Dave Chappelle is in it. It's a very funny movie. It is a very, very funny movie. Yeah, I love that. And Neil Patrick Harris is very funny. And evidently, he's speaking of Jim Carrey, he's killing in that Lemony Snicket thing on Netflix. Plays Count Orloff on that. And that was the part that Jim Carrey played in the movie version like 10 years ago, which I loved. A series of unfortunate events. Okay, here's Eric on WGN. Hey, Eric.
Hey. One of the biggest comebacks this year on TV was the Full House people coming back and that Netflix deal.
Fuller House, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched the original, so I didn't watch the reboot. But
I watched a lot with my daughter, so we watched. We watched the reboot together, and
yeah.
I guess they're going to do 18 episodes for their season 3 coming up. I just found out.
So. Yeah, I mean it was a big success, you know. So yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, Fuller House, big comeback. All right, Eric, thanks.
Thanks.
Take care. Hey, real quickly, speaking of reboots on Netflix, everybody needs to watch the new version of One Day at a Time. I finished it. I watched all 13 episodes. It's really, really good and really funny and really smart. And it tackles really serious issues. It's produced by Norman Lear, who produced the original series, and he's updated it. They've updated it perfectly for these times. And it takes on racism. It takes on sexuality, alcoholism, the plight of veterans. It takes on pride of ethnicity. It does it in that great Norman Lear way. It's really smart. It makes really intelligent statements, and it's also very, very funny. And the acting is awesome. Justina Machado is the lead. She plays the role, and she is so good. She anchors the whole show. Rita Moreno is in it. Of course, she's a national treasure. She's amazing in it. Our good friend Stephen Tobolowsky is in it. And we're going to have Tobo on at some point to talk about it because it's just great. So if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, you don't have to be a fan of the original. If it was before your time or you never really watched it, it doesn't matter. It's great. It's really, really great. If you're, I'm talking about reboots on Netflix one day at a time. All right, here we go with some more comebacks. Justin Timberlake made a comeback. He also brought sexy back. Justin Timberlake and his boy band NSYNC won over the hearts of pop music in 1998 with their hit Tearing Up My Heart. After the band announced a hiatus in 2002, Timberlake made his comeback. He ventured into a solo career, releasing his debut solo album Justified in November of 2002. After taking a break from music for a few years and focusing on an acting career, Timberlake returned with the hugely successful 2020 experience. So are they saying that his comeback happened between NSYNC breaking up and him releasing his first solo record? I mean, is that really a comeback? Was Justin Timberlake ever not successful? It's just that he became really cool when he started his solo career.
Wait, but I think they mean he put out that solo album and things were great and then he kind of disappeared.
Well, he didn't. I mean, he was acting.
Yeah, but
I mean, he was acting in successful movies and, being like the best host ever on SNL. So it wasn't like he was I don't understand. I don't think he was out of the pop culture consciousness. How about this? Paula Abdul made a huge comeback. That's true. She had six number one singles. Good God, she had six number one singles? Paula Abdul did? Wow. She had to battle with bulimia and smaller stints in films. She took a break from music. In 2002, she then appeared alongside Randy Jackson and Simon Cowell as a judge on this new talent show called American Idol. She remained on the show till 2009 and has since appeared as a guest judge on several other talent shows. That's true. That was a comeback. Oh, this is a big one. Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore's role as Gertie in E.T. made her one of the most famous childhood stars of all time. But her early stardom led to trouble with partying, drug use. It landed her in rehab at the age of 14. She returned to acting in the mid-90s and started her own production company with leading roles in Never Been Kissed, 51st Dates, and Charlie's Angels. And now she's back in the Hollywood spotlight. All right. And the last one that we'll do here, because Esmeralda loves him so much, Ben Affleck. Though Ben Affleck won an Oscar for his Good Will Hunting script in 1997, some of his acting attempts were major box office flops, made a lot of terrible movies in a row, including 2003's Geely, which co-starred his then-girlfriend Jennifer Lopez. But Affleck continued to write, direct, and now he came back with The Town. He won a Best Picture Oscar with Argo, and so there's his comeback. And Esmeralda, you must be thrilled about that.
V made me watch The Town when we were in Boston.
Great movie.
He made me. He's like, we're watching this. I'm like, all right.
It's a great movie. It's great. We've talked about that, when you guys were in Boston, you watched
right.
It. And I also like to bring up the fact that Blake Lively's in it.
Yeah.
Because I love her. So, hey, how come the Blake Lively shark movie didn't get nominated for multiple Oscars? What's going on there? How come The Shallows didn't get 12 Oscar nominations? I'm really confused about that.